Welcome to Ghost Biz here on the Business Report. I'm Gary Strubel, and every week I get to chat to the finance ghost, catch up on all the big movers on the markets here in Southern Africa. Ghost, welcome back to the show. Let's start out with Momentum, who really seems to have momentum. Sorry, that was a terrible joke to start with. 33% increase in share price. At the same time, we also see Old Mutual's shares moving quite nicely. And they do seem to all be outperforming Sanlam. So perhaps there's a little trifecta of financial services companies to look at there. Just give us a sense of what's going on between those three.
Hi, Gary, and to all the listeners. Yeah, the momentum jokes do tend to write themselves. Look, I think that Sanlam, much like ShopRite, is just a very high-quality company that cannot outperform everyone every single year. It's basically just not possible. You know, at some point they need to have a year where they might be a little bit behind in terms of share price. But that doesn't mean that Sanlam is performing badly. It just means that so many high expectations are baked into that share price that, you know, sometimes you just end up with a consolidation year. Opposite for Old Mutual, certainly no one is baking in high expectations for that thing. And so when it actually puts out half decent numbers, as they did recently in terms of their insurance business, and in terms of how they did it on the market returns as well, which is a very important component of insurance earnings, they actually did really well. And the market loved that, of course. You do have to adjust the Old Mutual numbers, though, because they changed their functional currency in Zimbabwe. And if you don't adjust for that, then you have a situation where HEPS actually fell quite dramatically. If you do adjust for it, then HEPS increased by between 21% and 41%. So nice numbers out of Old Mutual, subject to that adjustment, of course. And then in terms of momentum, yeah, they really are doing well. I mean, that share price is cooking this year properly. It's up by like a third. And their normalized headline earnings per share up by between 41% and 51% for the latest financial year. Basically just carrying on from where they left off in the interims and across most of their business units. So, you know, well done to them. Great numbers. It's nice to see financial services doing well. But I would just point out, you know, Sanlam is a big internationally diversified story. And if you look at the share price over several years, then you'll see that Sanlam really has done well. So yeah, just testament to the quality of the JSE, I guess, that we have companies like these to choose from.
So another comparison to look at, and we often look at these shares as sort of bellwethers as to what's going on. Itel Tile reported results earlier in the week, and Cashbuild have also put out some numbers. It does look like for Cashbuild, earnings are increasing. Not quite as exciting for Itel Tile. To give us a sense of what these two markers tell us about the local economy.
Quite right. I would say they are a pretty useful bellwether. And the reason for that is that both of these companies reflect consumer discretionary spending. If you just think about your own money, you know, you have to spend on food. Obviously, you have to eat every day. And then you have what are effectively semi-durable, semi-discretionary, however you'd like to think about it. Items like clothing, you know, you need to wear clothes. You don't need to wear expensive clothes, but you do need to wear clothes. Hence why your value clothing players like a Pep Paul, for example, or Mr. Price are seen as quite resilient relative to your more fashion clothing retailers. But then right at the other end of the spectrum, you get to the sort of home improvement spend. And this obviously is not something that you need to do. In fact, this is something you're only going to do if you are a property owner, if you feel good about the affordability of your bond, if you feel like you can get access to debt to actually do this and benefit from it at a reasonable cost. So a lot needs to be going right for the likes of Cashbuild and Itel Tile to be enjoying stronger demand. And obviously, despite all the exuberance around the GNU last year, we can't say that everything is going right. I don't think that would be an accurate description for what's going on out there in South Africa, in the world, actually. So it's quite tough to get growth for both Itel Tile and Cashbuild. The interesting nuance when it comes to these two is that Itel Tile is actually even more geared towards what happens with the economy because they also have a manufacturing business. Now, it's one thing to just have a retail business and to be generating a margin and you've got a store there as your fixed cost. Fine, you know, there's a lot of operating leverage there, but it's nothing in comparison to the Itel Tile manufacturing arm, where if they suffer any kind of disappointment in demand, They have these big, expensive manufacturing facilities just sitting there, not necessarily generating decent returns at all. And that's why you find that in this environment where it's quite tough, Cashbuild has outperformed Italtile. If we suddenly do get some kind of strong uptick in the economy, interest rates come down, confidence goes up. Look, it's a lot of big ifs, but you know, maybe this happens. If that happens, then Italtile should, in theory, outperform Cashbuild because there's more economic leverage effectively inherent in that model. But even then, you can't be absolutely sure, because the other challenge for Italtile, as they've been saying to the market for a while, is there is a lot of overcapacity in the manufacturing side in South Africa. So there would need to be a lot of improvement for supply and demand to really go in their favor. Chances are good that if there's just a slight improvement, there would probably still be overcapacity in that business. So of the two, given where South Africa is, I choose Cashbuild. But what we really want to see is both of them doing well, because it would tell us that South African consumers are feeling better and have more money in their pockets to spend.
Let's take a look now at another share that's been in the news a little bit in the past, and we've actually touched on it in the show, and that's Sasol. Sasol's an interesting company exposed to a number of different product markets and international markets. And the market seems to be quite liking what happened with Sasol's results, but you seem to indicate in your newsletter that it's a little more complex than that. Give us a sense of the overall health of Sasol.
Sasol remains a company that captures the hearts and minds of investors in South Africa, that's for sure. And I think we've spoken about it a few times on the show, and I've been saying, you know, since the capital markets day that Sasol held earlier this year, they made it very clear that for them, they just hope to see their fuels business go sideways for the next 2 years, generate cash, help them reduce debt, etc., and that growth will come from their chemicals business. That is the great hope for them. I think the reason that why the market quite liked the latest numbers at Sasol is because there were actually signs of life in the chemicals business, and that is where the growth needs to come from. So, you know, well done to Sasol. Still a very long way to go, though, that's for sure. Unfortunately, the fuels business struggled because we had a stronger rand and a weaker oil price in dollars this year. And that means that the rand oil price fell by a pretty substantial 15% in the year under review for Sasol. And unfortunately, there were still lower sales volumes as well. So group level turnover down, group level adjusted EBITDA down. And it's just a reminder that ultimately, yes, Sasol's chemicals business is a potential source of growth. But if the fuel side doesn't behave and doesn't at least go sideways, I don't really think that chemicals grows quickly enough to actually make up for that. So what did the market like? Well, they definitely would have liked the big jump in free cash flow. But I've got to point out that there was a net cash settlement from Transnet of 4.3 billion rand. That was just one of the unusual boosts to this number. And even with that settlement, Sasol has still not reached a level of net debt that allows them to actually pay a dividend. They need to see that debt come down even more before they are prepared to actually pay a dividend to shareholders as per their recently stated dividend policy. But yeah, the market wants to see Sasol do well. People, for some reason, they see a glimmer of hope there and they just get stuck in. It is what it is. It's one of those stocks that just trades that way in South Africa. And anything that looks remotely positive will drive lots of share price movement. I guess, conversely, anything negative will also drive lots of share price movement, just in the other direction.
All right, guys, let's leave it at that. Thank you very much for your insights, as always. We'll be back next week. Remember that if you missed a little bit of this episode and you'd like to hear it all, or you'd like to hear it again, or you'd like to hear all of our previous episodes, wherever you pick up your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, or Android, go and like and subscribe to The Business Report. Thank you for making us Namibia's number one podcast. We'll talk next week, guys.